First Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I want to let you know that there are some images that will be disturbing to some of you today. I'm giving you a heads up on that. I'll let you know when they come, but just to kind of forewarn you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're reading verses 12 through 24. Bible says, "Now, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you." And all the Sunday school teachers said, we got some that are up here.
Amen.
There you go. Thank you, ma'am. Let's see. Let me get back to where I'm at. 12, 12, 12. Work hard among you who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Can I get a witness? And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Lord, we come before you this morning, glad that we are able to come into this building today, Lord. As the sickness goes around us, Lord, that you would heal those that are sick and keep us safe, Lord. We give you praise. Lord, we ask that you would come and guide us this morning, Lord. Guide us to where we need to go. So many of us would rather go where we want to go. Lord, if we're going to find victory in this coming year, we want to be where you want us to be. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, Wednesday night, I was greeted with a screaming, crying child. It was not JJ. It was actually Ezekiel in the cry room. His mom was there, and I went in there, and he was on his side. His face was red and all scrunched up, and tears were coming down. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she said, "He just wants to go out. He's having a fit." And I walked in, and he just snapped up and came running to me. And I said, "No, no, no, I want no part of this." And she's being a good mom. Can I get a witness on that? She doesn't teach that boy that the world doesn't revolve around him. He'll grow up having fits, stomping his feet, scrunching up his face, screaming and yelling. And some of us had parents who never taught us that. And it's a shame to see a grown man scrunch up his face and kick his feet because he thinks the world revolves around him. Can I get a witness on that? And what it takes to learn the lesson that the world does not revolve around you is calamity, is crisis. When you finally come to that point of surrender, say, "God, I do not know how to run my life." And He takes over. He'll break that pattern in your life. Begin to choose God. You are here today because God guided you here today. You didn't get here on your own. The title of today's message is Guided by God. And we're in a series called A View of Victory. And I've been asking this question over the last couple of weeks is, did you win enough in 2016? Were you content? Did you have all that you wanted to have? Or do you want more in 2017? We are going through a four-step process. And this first step has three sub-steps for it. But if you're going to find victory, as an individual, and we're going to find victory as a church. Got these four steps for you. We will depend on God. Can I get a witness on that? Second step, we will develop people. This church will take a step to develop you, and that you will grow in Christ. We as a church will display God's love. Amen. Thank you for that, Tommy. No, I'm not going to do it. Yes, I am. Good job, Tommy. There you go. Right here. All right. And we as a church desire God's presence. Every time you walk in this building, that there will be the opportunity to step into the presence of God, whether it be in that prayer room before service, whether it be during worship time when you feel the Holy Spirit descend upon you, or whether you feel the Holy Spirit piercing your heart during the message, and you can respond and say, God, forgive me a sinner. God, lead me out of darkness. God, guide me into the light. That when you step into this place, that you every time will be able to meet with the Lord. Amen? Amen? And that as you learn how to step into his presence, because the writer of Hebrews says we can boldly step into that most holy place and be cleansed, that during the week, as you're driving, as you get on the bus, as you are walking, as you go into a store, as you stand in a line, that you can just begin to cry out to God and say, oh God, because the writer of Psalms says, where can I go that you are not already there? Wherever you go, God is right there and he will meet you. Amen? Sorry, I'm going off. I got to wait 3 weeks to preach that sermon. But, all right, we're going on. We've started off this year, and I am focusing on that first step of we depend on God. 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon, keeping a focus on the Father. Because when you keep a focus on the Father, your victory will be in sight. Amen? Amen. Last week, we talked about working the Word, because God is worth the effort. And today, we look at being guided by the Spirit, because God's people choose God. Amen? Amen? You want to find greater victory in 2017? You will choose God. Now, you don't have to. You can choose to go your own way. Bible talks about that. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that appears right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You can go that way if you want, but you won't be being guided by God. Let's take a look at being guided by God. All righty, I got a little bit of text here. We're going to go through the Bible today. Turn to somebody and say, we're going to go through the Bible today. Look at that. We got just 3 verses in Jeremiah, but Jeremiah, he can talk. God makes everything new. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This will be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time. This is 600 years before Christ. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. And I love this part. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And God offers a new covenant, a covenant to replace the old one. He describes the old covenant. The covenant is a contract. We call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. Covenant, contract. He said, your forefathers broke their covenant. And he compares the broken covenant between Israel and God to a marriage that is broken. Like a husband, like a marriage that is broken from infidelity. Trust is broken. Trust sometimes will never be restored. I told you there would be some offensive pictures. See, feel it. I mean, you feel it. It is humorous in that one of the local sports stations is doing a Chargers clothing drive to give away Chargers gear to the homeless. God says, I'm going to make a new partner, a better partner. I'm going to put a new mind in you. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to make this new covenant. Jesus says, Luke 22:20, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And so that new covenant, that new testament, that new contract that Christ makes with the church is described back 600 years earlier when God is sending the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem and to send his people into exile as a discipline, as a punishment for the choices that they would make that lead to death. I'll make a new covenant. I will transform you that you can keep that covenant. And I will be your God. And you will be my people. That's where we're at today. Amen? Amen. And you are here because the Holy Spirit guided you here today. Amen. Glad to see you here today, ma'am. We got a seat for you. All right. And God leads you. God guides you. You need to choose God. He gives you a choice. God's people choose God. Amen? All right, here we go. The new covenant is guaranteed. Does that sound good? Everybody like a guarantee? I like a guarantee. And you also, this is Paul, after the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, written in the 50s to the church of Ephesus. So we've got Jeremiah and Ezekiel promising to Israel and to Judah that this change is coming. And then we have Paul writing to the church in Ephesus about the change that has come. Are you tracking with me? So we're bound in 650 years or thereabouts. Writing to the church, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. We get a guarantee. We get the presence of the Holy Spirit that we can bank on. Jesus brings the good news, and Jesus is the good news. Right. Now, grabbing on to that good news is a two-step process. You got to hear it, and then you got to choose it. You can hear it, and you can turn your back on it. There are many who do. But if you are going to be guided by God, you are going to have to choose his way, because God's people choose God. When you choose God, you are transformed by the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel, again, writing back a little bit before Jeremiah's time, says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And when the Holy Spirit comes in you, that is when Paul says that we are a new creation in Christ. That we are made brand new. We are that new partner that can enter into covenant with God. Enter into, the Bible tells us that the church is prepared as a bride for Christ. And so as Israel broke that covenant that God likens to a marriage, that the church, because of the Holy Spirit, will keep that covenant. Amen? Are we okay? Are we tracking? All right. I'm going to shoot this right at Tommy. It's the Holy Spirit that makes you new. And it is this new people, it is these transformed people that are in line for the inheritance. Now, the Bible says that we are God's inheritance. And the Bible also tells us that we are in line for an inheritance. And so there is this thing. where the Bible tells us that Jesus goes to repair a place for us. How many people think that Jesus is a pretty good carpenter? How many people are interested to see what kind of place he is making for you to live in? Amen? He says, I'm going to make a place for you, and if I go to make a place for you, I'm going to come back to be where you are that you can be with me. Amen? Amen. Now, I do not have this text because I didn't want you to read it. I just want you to close your eyes, and I want you to listen to a description of our inheritance. This is from Revelation chapter 21. The Apostle John writes this, and he says, and then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more pain or death or mourning or crying, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Just raise a hand. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that I have an inheritance in you. I thank you, Lord, that there is a guarantee. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me and lets me know I am your child. And they don't have to worry about where I'm going when I get done here. Whew, that's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
That is good. That is good. That's Revelation chapter 21. All righty. God makes everything new, and God does not leave us alone. Reading from John chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 and then jump to 25 and 26. I have it up there for you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That means he's going to give you someone like me. This is Jesus speaking. Another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Jumping up to verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is coming to be our guide, that he will guide us into all truth, that he will be our advocate with God. He will be our counselor and our comforter. Come alongside. As our guide into truth, he has given us the manual for life. I talked about this last week, said it's worth the effort. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Many of you, and I still have some if you did not get one, grab from right up here those yellow through the Bible in a year forms, 20 minutes a day. I hope you put in some effort this week. And had you never read the Bible before, I'm sure there is a significant amount of confusion and struggle. And what I want to let you know, that as you put in that effort, that confusion and that struggle will diminish. And you will be able to discern the things of God as the Holy Spirit removes the cobwebs from your mind and guides you into truth. Amen?
Amen.
Bible is worth the effort. Holy Spirit's our guide. Peter writes, 2 Peter chapter 1, 21 and 22. Above all, I mentioned this last week, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the good news. And as we grab on to Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit who wrote the good news. It's like, wait a minute, I can't figure this out. Holy Spirit, Jesus says, points to everything that I have said. Jesus, talking in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 28, I do nothing on my own, this is Jesus speaking, but speak just what the Father has taught me. And Jesus says that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit in the name of the Son. And so we have here is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all interfacing together to transform you and to give you a new heart, a new mind, and a new spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good news. You could win in 2017 with God behind you. Amen?
Amen.
Get God behind you. You got to choose Him. God's people choose God. Amen. Holy Trinity at work to transform you. I got a picture. We're going to come back to this in a minute. As your soul, that center section, that is where you live. That is where you think. That is where you choose. And the Holy Spirit comes, transforms your spirit, and begins to pour into your soul. And now you have a choice. Because up until that time, all you did was what you wanted to do. And so you get to this point, and you can choose to do what God tells you to do, or you can choose to do what you want to do. Everybody gets to choose. But God's people choose God. All righty. Let's go on to point B here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Without a guide, we are lost. You can't get there on your own. You can't get here on your own. If you got here on your own today, you got no clue what I'm talking about. You are bored out of your mind going, what is this guy talking about? You know how I know? Because I read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. This is what it says. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Because if you don't have the Spirit, you don't get it. And I am just talking a bunch of foolishness to you today. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. You can't get there on your own. You can't get this book on your own. Holy Spirit must open your soul and open your mind to it. And you're sitting here this morning struggling with what I'm talking about. I can't help you. I mean, I can try. I mean, I spent 25 years going through the book. My job is to make you understand it. But I'm telling you, there is a gap that no matter what I do, I can't cover that gap. Only God is going to cover that gap. For you to get that gap filled, you got to choose God. And everybody here is going, amen, amen. They're saying amen because they have chosen God. Holy Spirit comes and reveals to them. Natural man cannot accept the things that come from God. And we see it all around us, people mocking God. And people who mock God in our media, TV, and in Hollywood, and at the Emmys, and all these other shows. I don't watch them shows, but I know they got all these award shows. And you mock God, man, you got all kinds of people that'll flock all around and say, man, you're so smart. Jesus said, hey, man, it is the wide way. And a lot of people are on it that lead to destruction. Got lots of company. God's pathway is completely different. Jesus says it's a narrow way. And there's just a few people that are on it. Because you can't get there on your own. You can only get there with God's help. Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't get there through Allah. You can't get there through Buddha. You can't get there through Scientology. You can't get there through all the... There is one way. The new covenant, the way of the cross, it is exclusive. People say, oh, Jesus was a great teacher. Well, Jesus was either a liar or the Messiah. He can't be both. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. It's an exclusive way, and you can't get there on your own. Triune God, Holy Spirit, guide you into truth, sent by the Father in the name of the Son. Son speaks only what the Father told him to say and nothing on his own. Are you tracking with me on this? I remember a time talking with my father before he died, shortly before he died. It was a breakthrough moment, and I was talking to him because realistically, I mean, life that I had led, my whole family, everybody who knew me, just waiting for me to fall back into the world. I got Jesus for a minute. Well, a minute had gone by, and my dad and I are talking about, I'm in Bible college to be a minister. He's thinking, man, this might actually be real. And we were talking about this very subject. And we're talking, and he had described about how he had read the Bible when he was in prison. And he said, I just don't get it. I just can't get it. And I said, but Dad, you can. You got to ask. And he died a short time later, within several months. And he never asked. He never got a guide. And he died in his sin. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. It's a wide way. I hope you're not on it today. Let's keep going. Everybody gets to choose. Everybody must make a choice. So I say to you, this is now the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Galatia. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict. So that you are not to do whatever you want. When the Holy Spirit comes, you enter into a battle. Prior to the Holy Spirit coming into your life, you were dead in your trespasses. He makes you alive in the Spirit So your soul is impacted only by your body. Your soul is impacted only by your flesh. And that is why you are a slave to sin, because you have no other option. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, now you got a choice. Now you got a fight. Now you get the opportunity to choose God. Now, Paul says that the two don't get along. They don't work together. Can I get a witness on that? God's people are going to choose God. But you don't have to. You can do what you always used to do. That's the battle. Now, Paul describes, these are some of the things that we might battle for. Some of the things of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, so we have the opportunity for victory in 2017. If you experience that victory, it will be victory over your flesh. It will be victory over things like that. That might not be your issue that's up on the screen. And I hesitate to give lists, and I hesitate to put up pictures, because you look at that and you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's not me. I'm free and clear. That list in Galatians 5, 19 through 21 is long. He says the acts of the flesh are obvious, but God's people choose the Spirit. God's people choose God. All right. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have victory over the flesh. Those who belong to Christ Jesus will have victory in 2017. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I would add onto that, are in the process of crucifying that flesh. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Because we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. God's people choose God. And you got an option. He gives us a new life. Love, joy, peace, patience. And it's just like, Well, I think that's the end point. Because Jesus says, yeah, you get new life in me, and with them come persecutions. Can I get a witness on that? These are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And I always miss one. Yeah, I know. It's not on purpose. I just always miss one. It's always a different one. You ever pick oranges? That tree is probably 30, 40 years old. You start off, it takes a lot of work to plant an orange tree and to make an orange grove. It can take 15 years before an orange tree from a seed will bear fruit. Now, they'll graft them onto roots. You get fruit in 3 or 4 years, but still, that fruit, juvenile fruit, is very tough and hard, and it's not that great. All to say, love, joy, peace, patience, take a whole lot of effort. Jesus says, abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Persecutions come, but I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. Amen. Victory 2017 starts with people who depend on God. Keep a focus on Him, it'll keep your victory in sight. Work the Word. God is worth the effort. And be guided by God, because God's people choose God. You come here today, what are you choosing? There's all kinds of options out there. At least you can come up here. Where's your battle? Battle could be here. What is keeping you from choosing God? What comes up from your old life that keeps you on the wide path? I don't know. God knows. And I am believing right now that God is speaking to your heart and letting you know where, I'll say it nice, you didn't have victory in 2016. Where you struggled in 2016. Where you failed in 2016 because you did not crucify the flesh. It comes up and it grabs you by the ankles and it drags you back from your walk with Christ. You can read Galatians 5, 19 through 21. There's a list of things that will destroy your life in Christ. But Jesus is right here. Holy Spirit is moving among us. And He, I'm speaking in faith, is speaking right to your soul right now and saying it was this. He's telling me I'm being too busy. I got to work. I'm not being so busy. I can say, Lord, I'm busy for you. I can fail in my life with Christ being busy for Christ. I believe He is speaking right now to your soul. And if you have a piece of paper, you got a pen out, you don't got to grab one. Write down what He is telling you right now. He is saying right now, this is your barrier to victory in 2017. And He says, this is your barrier, this is your victory. Here is your opportunity to find victory through me as you choose me. Grab onto this. We will together, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We will have victory over this area in your life. If you don't have a pen, I want you to speak that word in your mind. You have to say it out loud, but you can just say busyness in your mind. Say it three times, busyness. I don't know what you're speaking, but the Lord is putting something in your mind. He says, this is your battle. You can choose me. You're going to grab onto me. You can find my power to overcome this area of your life, or there's a broad path that is available to you, and you don't have to change a thing to get there. Lord, I pray right now that you are speaking to hearts and minds and souls. I pray right now, battles, Lord, battle lines are being drawn up, Lord. We resist you, devil, as you would come and you would cause our flesh to rise up. Lord, we grab onto you and we grab onto that battle and we choose you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we're going to move from victory to victory to victory. No more walking away. We're walking into battle. The breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. Spiritual warfare with spiritual armor, Lord. You're here this morning. And the Lord is speaking your battle to you. And you're saying, right on, Lord. I see it now. It is crystal clear. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight, Lord. I'm going to join arms with you. And I am trusting victory in 2017. Nobody looking around. God's speaking right to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me. Yeah, God told me. Told me my battle.
Yes, Lord.
Wow. We got four people. Wow. Four people. Wow, it is so cool to be amongst people that have no battles to fight in the Lord. Because I got battles to fight. And you know what? Bible says that all God's people have an enemy that prowls around trying to destroy them. And if you have no battle, it is because you are unaware that there is an enemy arrayed against you. And in this moment you say, oh Lord, speak to my heart. I want to win. See, you can't win if you don't fight. And you can't fight air. You got to fight an opponent. And we crucify the flesh. And each one of us has flesh that bubbles up around us. And we got to stomp it down every day. So this week, ask the Holy Spirit, man, Lord, am I just missing the battle? Because I want to win. Win, I want to fight. Fight. Show me where to go. And I'll choose you. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Let's stand. Worship team's going to come. We're going to sing this song. Somebody's going to set this up. There we go. Hallelujah.